Well.
Look who turned up at the precinct. You know, you've got quite a rap sheet, buddy. You've got more crimes on this piece of paper than frankly, most of the rest of the jail combined.
That's right. Yeah, you're Liberty City's most wanted, and we finally got you.
And, don't open your mouth. Don't open your mouth. I want to run some of these crimes by you because, you know, I'm not sure a human being is capable of this. We have drove a car off of the top of a parking garage into a crowd. I've got one here that says you fired a pistol at a helicopter until it exploded. And then this one here, you hijacked a tank and drove it off of a jump and then collected money.
And yeah, and we've been trying to get those jumps shut down around here. Those jumps are not safe for the citizens of Liberty City, but, you know, you just took right advantage of it. And not to mention all the stuff we found on your person. We found, you know, a knife, a baseball bat, a handgun, a shotgun, an Uzi, an AK-47, a fucking bazooka. A bazooka? Who walks around with a bazooka in their goddamn pocket? That's what I want to know.
Now, you're looking at a lot of time here, buddy. A lot of time. But
we're going to bury you under the jail.
We're interested in what you might have to say about some of your co-conspirators here, because maybe the Liberty City PD would cut you a deal. Hey, what do you say?
Yeah, you know, maybe you say something and you give us a little information and maybe we, knock down some of these charges, huh? Go ahead.
All right, you listen to me, asshole. You can't just fucking stare at us.
Bitch, you son of a
you
bitch.
You can't fucking just stare at us, you son of a bitch. I'll tell you right now, I've walked out of here with guys' teeth in my fist. In my fist. And I'm not fucking afraid to do it to you. You hear me? You hear me?
I saw him fucking punch a guy in the mouth so hard that his fucking knuckles came out the other guy's asshole, okay? So don't be messing with us. Don't mess
with
us.
So what do you say? What do you say? Come on, just give us one name. Give us one name. Hell, give me your own name.
Say anything. Anything that, you know, any word. We'll take a word that's related to a crime, even.
All right, you piece of
shit. Gun.
You piece of shit. You piece of shit!
You piece of shit!
You fucking take this! You take that! Come on!
Oh, yeah, get it.
Yeah, fuck
yeah.
It. Follow.
Yeah, you know what?
Fuck
I'm gonna give him a kick, too. Ooh.
Ah. Oh, you don't even make a sound when I kick you? You don't even make a sound when I kick you?
Yeah, what about this? Oh, this fucking machete you got on your person, huh? Oh, it looks familiar, huh? Slice! What about that, huh?
All right, he's bleeding out.
I got coffee for everyone. What the hell? What are you doing with the suspect?
Oh, we're giving him what for?
This is police brutality!
Yeah, this asshole won't open his mouth for nothing. He won't give us a single name, a single crime, a single... He won't even give us his own name.
Did you read the dossier? He's a silent protagonist. Also, there's a constitutional right to remain silent.
Oh, shit.
So that's another... That's actually probably a bigger thing. Like, yeah, this guy is mute. He can't talk. But also, he has a constitutional right he is invoking. Which you should know because you're cops.
Hey,
instead of cutting him with a machete,
off to
what
me
the
right
fuck?
Now? Is that what you're doing? Are you mouthing off to me right now? Because I'll beat the shit out of you, buddy.
I'm holding my.
Don't do it. Don't come on.
Don't you see?
Don't beat the shit out of
me. Did anybody else notice that when we were beating him up, the money from his wallet started floating over him?
We discuss the many iterations of the GTA franchise and take a quiz on which game characters gamers play with themselves to this week on Get Played.
Welcome to Get Played, your one-stop show for good games, bad games, and every game in between. It's time to get played! I'm your host, Heather Ann Campbell, along with my fellow host, Nick Weiger.
Hey, I'm Nick Weiger, and I'm here with my fellow host, another's fellow host, Matt Apodaca.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show.
Wow.
Wow. Quick note for listeners out there who are maybe hoping for something a little newsy. We are recording this in advance of Sony's State of Play. So if they are like, hey, here's a big announcement and we're not acknowledging it, it's just because we recorded in advance of that. And probably they won't say anything big, but just yeah, whatever.
We're yeah,
just
maybe we don't give a fuck.
You know, I heard that they're going to announce that Crash Bandicoot is going to be a photorealistic Bandicoot simulator. That's a terrible joke. Why did I even go on that journey? That was go anywhere.
You've been spending too much time with us. That's the issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would have made that joke and then Matt would have cackled. Matt would have said, all righty then. And I would have laughed at that.
I wish. Oh, man. I wish I was that quick. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it's really good.
I wonder what they're going to. There's no way that they're going to announce the. Watch us make all these predictions that they're not going to do. And they do all these things.
They're gonna show more footage of Stranger of Paradise Final Fantasy Origin as rumored. No way.
No,
that
not
won't
gonna,
happen.
They're not gonna announce Sly 5. They're not gonna announce
the
Game Pass competitor. They're not gonna do any of this. It's only 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
Also is the thing. It's not gonna be. What are they gonna do?
I don't think anything's gonna happen.
We're adding a new button. Yeah.
A fifth face button? Just be so.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Why?
Rectangle. Isn't that similar to square? Shut up.
But hey, that's not the only thing going on in the world this week. Also, very bad things are happening. And Heather, you brought our attention to a bundle that you want to talk about.
So, Nick destroyed his genitals, and we're holding a fundraiser. see, no, I'm off today. It's not happening.
No,
I shouldn't be making a joke when I'm going to then be like, but seriously, the war in Ukraine, like that's not, I can't do that.
It's not really a joke because Nick did destroy his genitals, and it's not funny.
And I wanted to. and everyone's upset.
No.
As gamers, how do we support the war effort in Ukraine and Ukrainian Red Cross? I don't even know how we solve problems, but we can buy video games and have those profits go exclusively to Ukraine. There's a bundle we'd love to plug. It's a bundle for Ukraine on itch.io. Itch.io? How do you guys say that?
I've always heard it as itch.io, but maybe it is itch.io.
All right. Itch.io. And it's hosted by Necrosoft Games. They are a developer that I know who've made games like Gunhouse. And they've also made Hyper Gun Sport. Lots of gun-themed games. But they've got 992 games for $10 or whatever you want to donate. And there's a ton of hits in this bundle. And they've already, as of record, they've raised about $3 million. Let's keep buying video games and sending that money to Ukraine. The link will be on our Twitter, right?
Yeah, and I'll put it in the episode description as well.
Episode description, yeah, great.
Yeah, nobody wants to, I can't just say a website. Right?
Type it in as follows.
itch.io/b/1316
Yeah.
/bundle-4-Ukraine
There you go. All right. Well, if you are an analog to digital type, then that's the way you got your website. What else are we talking about?
just scanning through this bundle real quick. I'll be picking this up myself after this record. But yeah, there are games already in here that are worth the price alone. You got CrossCode in here, Super Hot, which we've talked about on the podcast. Baba Is You, great puzzle game. Celeste, and that's just among the countless games that you'd be getting. So this seems like. Even if you don't like the cause, this seems like just such an incredible value. So benefits International Medical Corps and Voices of Children, Ukrainian organizations. So check that out.
I am Russian and I like to fight against Ukraine, but these games, they look pretty good.
Yeah, good at twice the price.
Wait a minute, that's Vlad himself. We got him.
You caught me.
Now what?
He's a little Dracula when I do him.
You should do a more respectful impression of that man.
You're right, I should.
Well, that's the news of the world. That's the news of games. But there's also some personal news regarding games.
Wait.
Guys, I'm wondering, what are you playing?
Oh! Bing boom.
Hello?
What are you playing?
Get the fuck off my porch.
What are you playing?
I'm going to get my gun. What are you playing? Get the fuck out of here.
Well, I would love to talk about, you know, I'm playing Elden Ring for our upcoming We Play, You Play.
That's right.
I'm playing Final Fantasy First Soldier forever. Mm-hmm. And I'm zero now, guys. I'm zero. I'm ranked zero, which is the highest you can go. I never got to zero in the first season. I'm zero now. I'm really fucking psyched about it. But Mary, frequent podcast guest and my personal my personal fiance, what do you my future wife to be,
my wife
is in my
there you go.
She's playing Disco Elysium, and I've been sort of watching it over her shoulder at times, and mm-hmm. her build is completely she tried to make the character that she would want to be in the world. So all of her points are spent in like empathy and emotional intelligence. And she had no physicality whatsoever.
Wow.
And so she died in the hotel room.
Oh, my gosh.
She tried to get the tie and died in the hotel room. It was like one of the first things she did was die. Mm-hmm. So her experience of the game has been wild to watch because she's getting all of this great like character information with everybody she interacts with that I wasn't privy to. And I mean, the game is like, it's a masterpiece.
Yeah.
It's a fucking incredible masterpiece.
Is she, as someone, because I think Mary is less of a gamer than us.
Yes.
I don't know if she considers herself a non-gamer or not. She certainly played some games and been on the podcast. But it, like, has she, is there anything where she's like, you know, the quirks of the UI or the bugs that you might encounter, or just things like the fact that you can die randomly because you're trying to take your necktie off of a moving fan in your hotel room? Have there been any obstacles for her as a player?
I think she is enough of a gamer that none of those things are off-putting to her.
Got
but
it.
She did have questions about just how to do stuff. Like,
yes.
I was able to say, you know, once you level up, you can spend that skill point in either your like emotional briefcase or whatever it's called, or your thought cabinet. And she got that. Like, it wasn't like I didn't have to then say, and what I mean by spending points is, you know,
right.
She has like the basic vocabulary of RPGs either down through experience in video games, or the sheer fact that like level, like you'll drive past a billboard and it'll be like, level up your workout. And it's like that is the thing. Like people mm-hmm. have the concept of what it means to role play in regular life. So she's doing great. She's doing great. And you know what? I'm just going to hold this up in front of the camera.
Wow, looks like you got a British Sea Power album. Is that the Disco Elysium soundtrack on vinyl?
It is.
Look at
it's
that.
It's the Disco Elysium soundtrack on vinyl.
Wow.
You're fully disco-pilled. And so am I, as I've finished up my second playthrough.
Wow.
And I'm curious, as Mary progresses in this game, I'm really curious to hear her thoughts as someone, not just, you know, as a non-gamer and someone who's playing it differently, or less of a gamer and someone who's playing it differently, but also just as someone who's like a really smart writer and really has, you know, really creative thoughts about story construction. Because I do think this game is really intricately written, and I'm not going to get into spoiler country here. We're not going to talk about anything story or easy, Matt. I know you want to take it out of the holster. We're not getting to spoiler country.
All right. You better keep 10 paces away there, bucko.
Somehow, with my second playthrough of this game, it took longer than my first. I don't know how that happened, but the way I can think about it. Wait, what was that?
Nothing.
Okay. The way I can think about it is it's like kind of like rereading a book you really like, where it's like, well, it's not like I want to skim this. I want to read everything. And side tasks that I thought maybe I might ignore or just like shelve, I'm just like, no, I still want to fucking do this. Because it's fun to investigate this, you know, mysteriously locked apartment and figure out that there's a realtor in there or whatever. You know, like all these... Mm-hmm. All these threads I still want to figure out. I still want to follow their conclusion. One thing I will say is that some of the tasks, some of the side quests that I wasn't able to fully resolve in my first playthrough because there's kind of an abrupt transition to Act 3 that you're not aware of, I was conscious of on this playthrough. So I was able to like basically resolve absolutely everything on my checklist, which was really satisfying. And I got to see some scenes that I didn't get to see the first time. There's also, like, we've talked a lot about how funny this game is, but it does have some poignant, touching moments. Like there's a, I'll be very vague, but there's a very serious scene where you notify a relative about a victim's death. And it's, like, it's played so straight, mm-hmm. and it's, like, yeah. And you're just, like comforting and consoling this person, and, like you have to get the bad news out, but, like, there's not a way to, like, really, like, you can kind of fuck around, but not really in the same sort of way, and it hits that really well, which is such a delicate emotional balance in a game that's often so silly, in a game where the aforementioned necktie is often just talking to you aloud, depending on your build.
Bratan!
I love that necktie.
Yeah.
Also, I got to the part I didn't hear about when on our Disco Elysium episode. I'll talk to you after the show.
Yes.
The necktie interaction. Anyway, so the moralism in this game, the moralism philosophy, because this game does a really good job of skewering different political ideologies, and moralism is their centrism. And I went fully in that direction and finished that quest line, and like that was like super satisfying and super funny, and you get to spend more time with some characters that that are part of the main story, but they kind of have their own role in this quest, which I found that one actually more satisfying than the communism one, which I did my first playthrough. And I also just want to center on one sequence, which was something that I didn't experience my first time because my guy was more straight laced. He was a boring cop and he was very smart and he didn't have a lot of emotional intelligence. Whereas my guy for this playthrough is an apocalypse cop. He is very erratic and basically all goes on gut instinct, 0 points in logic, just fully on emotion and wrath, fits of rage. So there's a sequence where there's this young woman, one of the drug dealers who are trying to open a nightclub in the church. You are interacting with her, this young woman, Estelle, and she's outdoors. She's on the sea ice and she's not wearing a hat, and you can opt to tell her whether or not to wear a hat. So when you do this, she replies, "Fuck the hat." And then this is what happened with my character. Half-life, your pulse rises. These are your different thoughts. If you're not familiar with the game, authority. What did she just say? That's not how a civilian is supposed to address an officer of the law. Authority. Lots of feeling. Feel it up. Way up. You. Oh my God. Fuck the hat? Is that what you just said to me? I can't believe you told me to fuck the hat. Authority. You're saying it really loud, but it's not coming out right. Maybe add more indignation. You. Should I just take this hat I'm wearing and fuck it right? Point at your head where the hat is located. Engage in sexual intercourse with a hat right here in front of you because you told me so on the sea ice? Authority, more. You. Right here on the sea ice? Authority, more. You. Give you a little ice cop hat fuck show? A cell. I didn't mean to. I'm sorry, this is the girl. The girl is visibly shaken. Kim Kitsuragi, the lieutenant is watching the scene unfold before his eyes, unsure how to react. You. Is that how you see me? Estelle, the girl looks down, slowly curling into a ball. Empathy. That's it. You've earned it. Start crying. Life's hard. You. Start crying. I was laughing so hard through this sequence. And then you finish this, and this girl is like just being subjected to your outburst. She's being screamed at, and then you collapse in tears. And then afterwards, There are certain interactions where Kim's like, he has to talk to you and you have to click on him to proceed. And this is one of them. He's like, hey, we need to talk about what just happened. it's so great. This game just is just, I don't know. I people were probably tired of us talking about it at this point, but we're fully immersed in it.
Look, I think they can take a teaspoon of sugar with at least we're not talking about Death Stranding anymore. Am I right?
Yeah,
that's true.
Which, by the way, guys, did you? No, just kidding.
I would love to talk more about Death Stranding.
I wish I had something new to say about Death Stranding.
Well, the director's cut is coming out on PC in a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, there you go.
Guys, is it time for another Death Stranding episode?
I think so. I think we gotta do the PC version.
Yeah, yeah. I'll build a PC just to play that and then throw it away. So I'm kind of stuck between a couple of things right now, right? Because we're doing Elden Ring.
That's right.
Not to, you know, talk about that game too much. It has consumed my life in a way that I've never been consumed by a video game before. Really.
I love
it. It's made me very interested in, I want to read about the world of Elden Ring. I want there to be books about Elden Ring. I just need more information. And so as of right now, there's nothing. But if they wanted to print money, if FromSoft wanted to print money, Bandai Namco, if you're listening, give me more of this entire fucking world. This thing's crazy. I love it. We'll talk more about it later, but I'm just really, really loving it. But I've put, I think, 50 hours into it so far, and I'm not done.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Is there maybe one interaction or one moment you want to isolate that's particularly memorable that we can talk more in depth about the game at large later this month on our We Play, You Play?
Yeah, so without spoiling, I texted you guys about this when I was experiencing it. There was a boss fight. There was something in the game that, in my mind, it'll never leave my brain. It was something that I've never seen before. There's a lot of great creature design in this game, but there was one particular boss design that I was like truly blown away by in terms of how scary it was, how gross it was, how unique it was, like just all across the board, like very, very interesting to me. There's also just like really scary creatures just throughout. Have you guys seen the hand? Like the creepy hands?
I have seen the hands.
Not me.
There's some fucking hands in this thing that are... Wow.
That was going to be my guess at what the thing was that upset
it's not
you so
even
much.
That, but those are upsetting in a different way. But this was like watching like body horror, sort of like it was really, really upsetting. But those hands are really something. But I'm also, you know, I'm still chugging along in Pokemon Legends Arceus, and there's this is old news by this point, but last week they announced Gen 9 Pokemon Scarlet and Violet.
I saw this.
A third. Or like this is a huge release. This is like for the end of this year, not even next year, for the end of this coming year, 2022, another Pokemon game. And, you know, within the last year and a half, I mean, before the new year, we had Pokemon Legends and Pokemon Shining Pearl and Diamond.
Yes.
And now we got Pokemon Scarlet, Pokemon Violet, and it's supposed to be it looks like it's going to be a region based on Spain. España.
How
delightful.
I love it.
And it's a complete open world too, they said, which is different for them.
Well, Arceus has an open world, right? You spent time with it.
It has very expansive lands, but you have to go to the home world. That's a very frustrating thing about the game. You can't travel between lands from another land. You have to go back to the main town, which is very annoying, and then go back out the gate to go to a different area. And it's just like, it would be so nice if like in a patch, they were able to, like, okay, like, you're at the furthest end of this land.
Right.
That would, you know, in theory, go into the next one.
Yeah, stitch the world together instead of making it all connected by a hub.
Even if there's, like, a loading screen between those two things.
Sure.
Like, just so I don't have to go, you know, you're adding one loading screen to cut out two or three by the time I get back over there, you know? But it's that game is really, really fun. I am sort of at a loss now with it, though. Because I think I've done something that I shouldn't have done.
Killed your Pikachu?
I killed, yeah. I've executed all my favorite little guys.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Told them all to face the wall.
Jesus. Squared all.
Yeah. Slam. No, but like, because I was saying, I'm in the collectathon task, basically, where there's these little wisps you have to go around the map and collect. And same with the unknowns. I wish I had gotten none in my playthrough. I wish I had not stopped and gotten any of them, because now I don't know which ones I did or didn't get. So if I'm looking at like a map that has all the locations on it, I have to search every nook and cranny.
How many of those fuckers are there? Is there one for every letter of the alphabet? Is
for
that
unknown,
it?
Yes. And there's also, I think, an exclamation point and a question mark. Wow. So I think there's 28 of those. And then there's also, in the wisps, there are these little, like, purple flames throughout the world in each of the little areas. And there's, like, 90 of those in the game or something. Not 900, like the Korok seeds in Breath of the Wild, but still a pain in the ass if I've gotten some and not all of them.
I can't do anymore. Yeah. I just get so, unless I really truly love something, I'm just like, what are we doing here?
That was the reason I didn't platinum God of War, was because I was like, I don't want to go back and collect that bullshit. Who cares?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, what are, no is way. It the birds? What are they in that? I know you have to find a lot of doves or something. It's not doves.
I don't know.
It's falcons.
Like the eyes of Hera.
Right. There's
something
eyes.
Something like that.
I remember there being birds somewhere, ravens or something. I remember there being some bird thing, but maybe they were indicators of where things were.
Are you thinking
maybe
of?
I'm thinking of a different game.
God of Bird?
I'm thinking of God of Bird. That's what it was. That one's really monotonous. You got to collect all the eggs.
Yeah.
I feel like there should. There should be trophies that are like platinum if you do something that you're not supposed to do too early. Like, I feel like if you could in Arceus, and I don't know anything about this game, like if you were to be able to beat the final gym with your starter Pokemon without leveling them up, I think you should get an automatic platinum for that.
Automatic plat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like if you can beat Elden Ring, like there was a speed run that I saw mentioned earlier today. It was 2.5 hours from start to finish. No deaths. And I'm like, that person should get a platinum.
Yes.
Like you shouldn't have to do all the other shit, whatever it may be, in order to unlock that trophy. If you can beat that game in 2.5 hours, you're done.
And it's like, maybe it's like an extra platinum. Like it doesn't count. Like, it doesn't add, like, there's not two platinums that you can get in the game, right? But if you do that, you get another platinum, so it's like 2 out of 1 platinum trophy. So it doesn't add to the overall, but it's like an extra thing that you get.
Yeah, whatever they want, but I feel like if you do something that should be in, like, the Guinness Book of World Records, you should automatically get all the trophies unlocked for that game.
Or, like, Ed McMahon should knock on your door and give you a giant check.
Yeah,
something.
There you go. Is he
alive?
He's
still kicking around, right?
Yeah.
Hey. Is he dead McMahon?
No, he's dead. He's absolutely a dead McMahon, for sure.
Dead McMahon died in 2009.
Oh,
wow.
No.
Wow.
May he rest.
R.I.P. Died at age 86 in 2009.
Hey-o.
What?
Is that what
quite
he
a
said?
Life. Quite a great. That's what he said, yeah.
See, and he's also a reference that I shouldn't really know.
You're a little too young for it.
I never saw him on television when he was on TV.
But it's kind of like knowing about I Love Lucy, you know?
Yes.
That was before my time, but I know what it is.
Yeah.
Or Gilligan's Island. Yeah, great. Wow, what a career. What a life. I forgot about Star Search.
Nick, you'd be a great Gilligan in the reboot.
Fuck, I'd love that.
Nick, if you were offered equal amounts of money to write a show or star in a show, same amount of commitment to work, same amount of hours, which one would you take?
Is there frontal nudity?
I mean, if that will encourage you to take the acting gig, then sure, they could write one in for you.
All right, I'll star in the show. Hey, you know, Pokemon isn't the only big franchise that's been extraordinarily influential over its lifespan. There's another one that's about to go next gen this
one
very
more.
Month. That's right. There are two total. Pokemon and the one we're talking about today on Grand Theft Auto.
Wow.
We're talking all things Grand Theft Auto, GTA 5, about to go next gen. And it really, honestly, arguably, I don't know if I believe this, but arguably the most influential franchise in the medium. In terms of what it's done to expand gaming's reach, in terms of making it appeal to a wider audience and a more adult audience, conferring it legitimacy in the mainstream, and also just making the open world design absolutely ubiquitous, there's definitely a case for this franchise being at the top of the list.
I mean, it is Grand Theft Auto 5 on its own. Is one of the most successful entertainment properties of all time.
Yes.
I mean, the records on Wikipedia still haven't been updated, and it had shipped 160 million copies in 2018. It is the second most sold video game ever. Just that entry. Not even the one that, like, changed video games, which I would argue is Grand Theft Auto 3, released in 2001 100%. By DMA Design and published by Rockstar. But the only game that has sold more games than Grand Theft Auto 5 is Minecraft.
Yes.
Which also made me one of the most influential games of all time.
Yes.
It has sold more than Tetris.
Yeah. Huge, absolutely huge franchise and continues to sell. The stats I saw from Screen Rant was that Grand Theft Auto Online makes $900 million a year, which translates to $2.5 million a day. And it's grossed about $6 billion since its release. So that's just the online mode of GTA 5. Half of all, this is another stat I saw, half of all series sales in the Grand Theft Auto franchise are Part 5. And it was released in 2013, and it just keeps getting ported, including to Next Gen now, 9 years after its release. And 13 years after the death of Ed McMahon, R.I.P.
Oh, man, R.I.P.
I mean, it is... a testament to how well designed Grand Theft Auto 5 was that it can be ported and remain relevant all this time later. It's fucking crazy.
Should we go back to Grand Theft Auto 3? Because
let's go back.
This game I remember just being so seismic. And I think if memory serves, it was the same year as Metal Gear Solid 2, another game that was just absolutely earth-shattering, 2001. I could be wrong.
Yeah, 2001.
Yeah. And but Grand Theft Auto 3 was the first time I remember seeing, like, late-night talk shows. And not that the, you know, late-night talk shows are at a completely different tier of relevance right now. But back then, we're still in the shadow of Ed McMahon.
Yes.
People were still... Yeah, people were still watching Conan and Leno and The Daily Show, you know, pretty religiously. And that was one I remember seeing Grand Theft Auto jokes and Grand Theft Auto references and Seth Green maybe on Conan or on The Daily Show talking about playing Grand Theft Auto. Like, it was like it was like a real moment in terms of mainstream relevance for video games as a medium. Yeah. And for this franchise specifically, but beyond that, it was just so huge in terms of how it affected how people play games and what people want from games.
Yes. Elden Ring arguably exists because of Grand Theft Auto 3, published in 2001.
You could draw a line between the two for sure.
For sure you can. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
Imagine the car was a horse.
Oh.
Yeah.
Imagine the gun was a sword.
Yeah, and what if a mob boss was Margit the...
What if instead of Liberty City, we're in the lands between? Suspend your disbelief.
My favorite part of Grand Theft Auto 3 and the thing... Well, two things that I remember from the time. One is that they took out the Twin Towers with... Because it was released about a month after 9/11 and people were like, oh, boy. We can't just have the two towers in here. The second thing is that the protagonist is mute.
Right.
He's a silent protagonist. And so in every scene, everybody's talking to you. And they're like, hey, I don't know who this fucking asshole thinks he is, but he can't take my car. So you better get down there and break his fucking legs and get my car back. And your character just stands there. Like silent, no expression. Which made him, for me, much more of a psychopath than any version afterwards. And my friend Josh and I would play this game, and we would just like mumble stuff whenever it would cut to the player character. Like, and our favorite thing to mumble was, I'm real thirsty. Do you have water? I'm real thirsty. And like, whenever we would kill somebody, we'd be like, do you have any water? And it made the game nightmarish. So much fun. Also, who remembers that you could fly the plane you weren't supposed to fly by sort of like hop skipping it in through the air? And you could also fly a tank by turning the turret around backwards.
Yeah, that's right.
Blasting behind you and the tank would fly because of the physics.
Right.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this game, Grand Theft Auto 3, was truly a very big game for me in my life. Because what, it came out in 2001. I was 10 years old when it came out.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
About to be 11, so don't freak out. and I remember being like, cause, you know, this was like when I would watch my uncle play games. I'd watch him play this and be like, I'm not supposed to be watching this. This is like,
right.
This is kind of like a game for older kids, you know? And this, he would let me play it, and I would not follow the story or anything. I would just drive around the city and be a fucking lunatic and like run people over and just shoot them and try not to get caught by the police. But that was always the fun thing for me when I was that age, was to see how high I could get my, my wanted meter. That's the fun thing about these games, is that they have tasks and stuff, but you can sort of play the game. You can make your own games within the game, sort of like flying the tank. You see the tank and you're like, okay, well, like, let's get in this fucker. And your wanted meter immediately goes up 3 stars. Because one, I don't think you're supposed to be where it is. And then two, you're not in the armed services. So that's like in game logic is against like the law.
Right.
So you've done something bad. And then you just turn that fucker around and start blasting in the opposite direction, and you can kind of take off with it. But that, I also was sort of struck by, because at this point, I was like, I would watch there was like syndicated Late Night with Conan O'Brien's like on Comedy Central and like Saturday Night Live reruns and stuff too. So I was like super into comedy at this point also. And I thought the game was super funny. I would always listen to the comedy like channel.
I thought they were so funny.
On the radio station there, like with Laszlo. And I was like, this is the funniest shit. Is this guy real? Like, I was like so convinced that he was like a real guy. and I just thought he was the stuff that's funny in Grand Theft Auto 3 and in a lot of Grand Theft Auto games is still truly some of the funniest shit. It's so funny.
Well, for me, so like I think that my sensibilities have changed over time.
Yeah.
Because at the time I was in college, I'm significantly older than Matt, and I did think that was the funniest thing in the world. I did think the DJs were so funny. I thought that that you could, you know, mow down a bunch of pedestrians with a drive-by, out the window. I thought was so funny. I like that. I'd like things that, you know, again, that now that I would not, now I would not have the same reaction to paying a prostitute for services and then running them over and then taking the money back. No. Like, as that I would at that age. But, like you know, back then I was like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. Like, you know, it was a little bit more of an edgelord.
I didn't even know it was happening when they were doing that. And honestly, still don't really know.
But that shit, like, all had traction with people because I think that there was still kind of, like, even though games had matured a lot, especially if you're playing PC games, there were a lot of games oriented towards adult audiences. PlayStation 1, Saturn games, even some games in the 16-bit era were starting to be a little bit more adult in terms of tone. But that was, like, I think the first one where people were like, oh, shit, this is a hard R game. Or at least that people had the people who were more in the mainstream or were more casual gamers had awareness of like oh, this is a straight up like game for adults or for kids who want to be a little naughty. You know, there's stuff going on. There's sex and gunplay in this game. It's hyper violent. You can kill innocent people. And also what you were talking about, Matt, of just like you didn't even follow the story. You just like fucked around. That was a huge part of the appeal. And yeah, you know, the word sandbox like kind of became the thing. Like everyone wanted a sandbox in the aftermath. These games have got to be a sandbox. You know, I always kind of thought the better way to think of it is a playground. It's just like here's this big play space where you can do whatever you want. You can choose to follow the main task. You can choose to go down the slide if you want, but you can also just throw sand at people. You know, yeah. So it's that was a huge part of appeal. I'm sorry for monologuing. No. But one more thought, and then I'll throw it back to the panel. I had a roommate at the time. I lived with a couple of gamers, but I also lived with a guy who didn't really play games. But when he would play Grand Theft Auto, and the first thing he'd do is he'd just punch in all the cheats, just yes. Get himself increase his wanted level, get all the weapons, and just kill as many things as many people as possible, and cause as much mayhem as possible, and play for like 15 minutes, and that was like him having fun with the game.
Yeah. I remember the cheat for all the weapons still. I think it was R2, R2, L1, R2, left, down, right, up, left, down, right, up. I just remember that from being a kid. Yeah. Because that's what I would do. And it was the same, I think, through the PlayStation 2 Grand Theft Autos, I think. I think they kept that code for Vice City and for San Andreas, if I'm correct.
My favorite code to enter was give everybody bazookas. Because it made
that's so funny,
right?
It made the world insane chaos, and it would just be like my friend and I would be like trying to see how long we could live. But there were rules. You couldn't just hide on top of a building. You had to like drive or run, and it was every pedestrian was full aggression, full bazookas, and it was like there's a lot of like a really neat emergent gameplay stuff that happened in Grand Theft Auto 3, like.
Right.
You know, you would be rewarded for doing jumps, but you would also just be like, I want to see if I can jump my car over the building. And it had nothing to do with anything. You'd just be like, can I do it? Will the physics engine allow me to do this insane thing? Can I hit a helicopter with my car? And then
what is the go on?
Well, I was going to say, and then as the series progresses, all of that stuff is sort of accounted for. So you can hit a plane with your car if you happen to be in the right place at the right time. But yeah, in Grand Theft Auto 3, there was stuff where you clearly weren't supposed to be inside of certain buildings and you'd just be like plummeting or it was a lot of, I mean, you know, it's a 22, 23, 21 year old. I don't know how math, 19. It's a 19 year old game. 21 years
older than that.
2001. Yeah, it's 21 years old. Yeah.
21.
Yeah.
Grand Theft Auto 3 can finally drink.
Yes.
So with Vice City, and that's probably the one I have the most nostalgia for, which had a huge part in like and maybe this is just me attributing too much of it to it, but there was like this 80s neon aesthetic revival, which I think so much of it derived from Grand Theft Auto Vice City. Like and I know that itself is referential of Miami Vice, but I think that's what put, you know, that sort of Miami Vice sort of tone and the music of the era and, you know, that fashion back into the zeitgeist. Like, I think, you know, there's the NBA franchise, the Miami Heat have like throwback jerseys that to me, like make me just think of Vice City. Like that's like, it's clearly like, it seems like a reference to that. Yeah. Obviously again, has something to do with Miami Vice. A game like Hotline Miami seems to have it's so much is derived from Vice City being, you know, such a success. And also that's one you talked about, them being mute protagonists. Like this is there. It isn't a mute protagonist in Vice City. And that's what starts the trend of there's a character to the protagonist or protagonist as the series progresses.
Mm-hmm. I was just excited about Vice City because, mm-hmm. which I never owned. I only ever owned Grand Theft Auto 3, and then I would play San Andreas and Vice City at my uncle's. I just never got it because I was like, well, how is this different, really? Obviously, now knowing that the stories are different, I ended up playing San Andreas much later on my iPad, actually. They ported it to iPad, and I played it on my iPad. But Vice City, I was just excited about because I was like, oh, it's just more. There's more of it. It's a different place.
And motorcycles.
It kind of was.
Yeah, and yeah,
motorcycles is a big thing, yeah.
But, like, at the time, I didn't appreciate the difference in story. I was just like, oh, cool. It's just, like, it's the difference to me between Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2, where it's just like, oh, more levels. I like this. This is the same thing. More levels, different songs. We're going to get to this point, I'm sure, but I bought the definitive collection.
Oh, wow. So this is the thing that came out, that this is the much derided collection of two of the aforementioned games, Grand Theft Auto 3 and Grand Theft Auto Vice City, as well as San Andreas.
Yeah.
And this basically was just like a really half-assed remaster.
It doesn't look very good.
Why did you get it? I'm sorry.
Because I love it. Like I got it because it's the thing that we talk about a bit where it's like there's not a better way to play it, like it, on a modern console, right? Like there's not you can't just download the PlayStation 2 version on your PS4 or PS5 anymore. And I was like, oh, like this is on a PS4 disc. I have the disc copy. I was like, I'll just get this. And I was excited about it. And I guess I wasn't really paying attention. All the stuff came out after I had like ordered it already. And I was like, well, sure. Am I going to cancel it? I kind of want to just see. And I know that they've since patched it a little bit. But I only messed around a little bit with 3. Because I was like, that's sort of the one I'm the most nostalgic for. And I got to say, I was having a lot of fun. I was like, this is just exactly how I remember it. Which is not necessarily, which is good and bad in a remaster, right? Like, it scratched the itch of the nostalgia, but you want it to be a little bit better than how you remember it, I think.
I don't know. I mean, like, this is maybe a larger, but I kind of like them to just sort of, like, retain what the original gameplay was. I'm thinking so much of the Diablo 2 remaster, which I thought was just like exactly what I wanted, but it was just like, it's a new coat of paint, the graphics look much, much better and look, you know, basically a contemporary game. The sound is cleaned up, but the core gameplay is pretty much what it used to be. They're actually patching that game to fix some longstanding issues. But in the initial few versions, it included just still like a lot of glitches that were in the original game.
Yeah. So I haven't messed with it as much to be like, oh, they fucked this up. I know that they did, just from hearing about it.
Right.
I'd like to get back in there and play them all at some point. Hopefully they get nice and fixed up.
Yeah, I don't think they will be. Sadly.
I think it's hard for me to talk about Vice City without talking about the murder case that I always associate with it. Which I looked back up on Wikipedia because I was like, what was the name? What happened? So there was a kid who had just graduated from high school, played Grand Theft Auto a bunch, and killed three cops, I think, stole their patrol car. And then when he was arrested, his quote was that life is a video game. Everyone's got to die sometime.
Oof.
He's the brother of an NFL player. Like, and had like never been in like any sort, like I'm not of the belief that art, I mean, art certainly can inspire. And if it can inspire, then it can inspire all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But I think generally I tip towards the side of like catharsis, like the, you know, like art can create a catharsis in you, but it doesn't actually make you do anything.
Yeah.
That being said, this, I remember following this because I was like, oh man, this is, this could be the end of video games. If this guy goes to court and he's like, I did it because I had like an existential crisis because I thought I was inside of a video game.
Yeah.
Then yeah, it says something about his mental health, but it also is like, oh boy, what are we going to do? Like, we're not even to VR yet. It's 2002.
Yeah.
But I, yeah, I can't think about Vice City without thinking about that thing.
Wow.
It's almost, it's like the Matrix makes me think about school shootings because at first everybody was blaming Doom and the Matrix, right?
Yes, there was that reaction for sure. Murder Simulator is what people were talking about for first person shooters with time. The thing that I think of, this is a more of a personal anecdote, but like when the Mortal Kombat Home version came out, my friend was playing with his cousin, and his cousin got so mad that he kept losing in Mortal Kombat that he took out his gun and shot the TV.
Oh my God.
That's such a direct line from violent video game to violent outburst.
Yeah.
That thankfully he didn't shoot someone else because that would have been national news. You know, thankfully he shot an inanimate object.
Yeah.
But it is like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's a fucking whole can of worms. I tend to think that shit just is. I totally get what you're saying, Heather, because I remember this story and I remember this being like a big thing and I remember this being a big outcry, but I don't know where I'm going with this.
Well, I just felt like I had to mention it because
yeah, I think it's good.
If I was a listener and I was thinking about it, I'd want the people on the podcast to say the thing that I was thinking about and maybe have some thoughts about it. And my thoughts are just like fear and horror and sadness and disgust, but also like, it's neurologically linked to Vice City for me.
Well, that's similar.
I liked less than Grand Theft Auto 3, by the way.
I was going to say, I don't like it as much as Grand Theft Auto 3 either. I like it.
It definitely wasn't as, well, it didn't have the impact. It didn't have the like, holy shit, this is something completely new. It was kind of more of the same, like you were saying.
Yeah. I was gonna liken to what Heather was saying to when I went and saw the Batman last weekend. The second thing I was worried about was getting COVID. The first thing I'm worried about when I see a new Batman movie is whether or not there's gonna be a lunatic in my movie theater.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like made a rule with myself that if I saw anybody dressed like the Joker, that I was going to fucking leave. I was like, I not worth it. I'll wait.
Yeah.
But back to Grand Theft Auto. I think of the three PlayStation 2 ones, San Andreas to me is such an unbelievable accomplishment in video games to me. It's unbelievable to me.
Yeah. The most ambitious of these, really pushing that last gen or that current gen hardware to the limits by the time it came out. One of the most hyped games I can remember ever. Like, people just were so fucking hyped for San Andreas. And of course, the other thing, you know, Heather, you talked about the murder case. The scandal I remember for San Andreas is the hot coffee mod, which was, you know, that you could fuck in this game.
Yeah.
And murder is fine, but fucking, how dare you?
And so that, when that came out, I was like, I was like 13, 14. Peak, how do I find this? How do I, like, I was the exact age to be like, I need to see this. How do I see this? Because this is like, the internet is now sort of more ubiquitous also. So like, at school, people are talking about something they saw online. Oh, I heard that there's this thing you can do in Grand Theft Auto San Andreas where there's like actual sex in it. And us and me, and my friends being like, what do we do? How do I access this?
Most of my high school, it's so interesting to talk to someone who is kind of in your same age range. Mm-hmm. I mean, for someone, I'm 41.
Yeah.
And you're 10 years older than, 10 years younger than me, rather. Yeah. I'm 10 years older than you. And to hear like a thing like that is just like, because my whole high school experience, Heather, I'm not sure about yours, was like we had dial up at home. I don't think search engines were really a thing. Google certainly didn't exist. The internet content I remember hearing about in high school was either you know, AOL chat rooms or the anarchist cookbook someone downloaded a plain text file of, you know?
Yeah.
And so like to like that, 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 yeah, there was a, that you were just talking about like stuff you saw on the internet about a video game at that, at, and during your formative years. It's just, it's such a different world than mine.
I would go to school,
mm-hmm.
look up cheats for games and email them. I would like copy and paste them in an email, email them to my mom with the subject line, print please. Cause like, and she would
that
print,
rules.
She would print them for me at work. So I had like a binder of like pages and pages and pages of like video game cheats. Cause I was like, we had the internet at home, but we had dial up. So like, I couldn't just be on all the time. And like, not like now, you know, you used to fucking clog up the phone.
Right.
You couldn't be on the phone if you were on the internet. And so I was like, if I'm going to get exactly what I want from the internet, I need it printed out.
So I'm 8 years older than Nick, but went to high school when the iPhone 5 was released.
Oh,
so
okay.
I know some of the
right.
math is going to be a little confusing to people.
Yes.
No, but that makes sense.
But yeah, no. So my experience of high school was, everybody's got Facebook on their iPhone and everybody's
yeah.
mean to each other in secret chat rooms and
yeah.
like on in DMs and on Snapchat. But yeah, yeah, but I was.
Were you playing Flappy Bird?
35 years older than everybody in my class at the time.
Oh, I forgot. You did. You Billy Madison. You
yeah,
went back.
I Billy Madison. My entire school experience. Well, but that's only because like the government raised me.
Yeah,
so,
right. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
You were incubated.
So I had to reacclimate into society after my mission ended.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a very different experience than what you guys had. I did not. So I loved the soundtrack to San Andreas hugely. I loved the fucking soundtrack to San Andreas.
It
was one of the first times I remember downloading a compilation like on LimeWire or where the fuck I got it, Napster. I don't know how you got music mm-hmm. in 2004, but getting like a playlist and having it on my computer and being like, oh man, I fucking love this. This is great. But I didn't. Every time the game is set in LA, I don't like playing it because it gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Uh-huh. Sure.
My favorite game of the entire series is 4, in part because I love Niko Bellic. I'm Niko Bellic. But I also love the like the rap song that like it's a Russian rap song that starts out Grand Theft Auto 4.
Yeah.
Like I really dug 4, but I don't like 5 or San Andreas because I'm like, it's weird to just like drive around my block.
Yeah.
In a game.
I can understand that.
It makes
it seem
like where you live is not true.
Yeah.
that might be. I could see that being a hang up. Less of a hang up for me. It was more that just like by the time we were getting to 4 and 5, I kind of was a little exhausted with the formula and also a little exhausted with the aesthetic and the tone. Like I feel like, not to say it outgrown it, but just my tastes had changed over time. I was just like a little less interested in, you know, senseless violence, for lack of another term. Mm. That said, the 4 was a huge thing. Like for the industry, just because Grand Theft Auto 4 is when the series goes multi-platform. And the thing I remember, the memory I have that's very strong about this game is there was the E3 or the Xbox executive, I think it was Peter Moore, revealed a tattoo of Grand Theft Auto 4 to show that Grand Theft Auto 4 was coming to Xbox. It was like such a seismic thing that he got an actual tattoo. And then everyone was like, is that real? And he was like, yes. And so that was just that was huge for the industry. And now, of course, obviously GTA 5 is just on absolutely everything it can be on. Like, and that's just, you know, how games are now. Like we can port it to mobile. Fuck it. We'll port it to mobile.
Yeah.
We just want as many people playing this thing as possible. We're completely platform neutral unless we're first party.
Grand Theft Auto 5 still not on Switch. Could be. Cause when Grand Theft Auto 5 came out, it was a PS3 game.
It's so wild. It's so wild that it's two gens ago.
Yeah, but I guess I should say too, my experience with 4 is I never finished it. But
I didn't finish it either.
I
didn't finish 4 or 5.
I finished 5. I loved 5. I'll talk about it in a second. But with 4, I was sort of like, yeah, okay. Like, I guess maybe I was a little sick of it. But I felt like they made you do too many side things. Like it was open world, but I felt like I kept every time I was trying to do something. It's like, oh, now I got to take this girl on a date.
Loved it.
I gotta go do this.
I loved it. I loved it when the cell phone rang and it was like, hang out with my cousin. Like, I loved it.
Like, I gotta get down here and take out this gang. You want me to go bowling with you?
I hope that if Grand Theft Auto 6 ever happens,
yeah,
that it includes elements where you can choose to just live an entire life crime free. Just hanging out with your buds in a world where the crime is still happening in the background. Like, I it would be so crazy if you could determine a little bit more about your own agency in Grand Theft Auto 6. Because I would love to just be like a city that looks like that Matrix demo, and you could just go to fucking work.
and maybe have this optional second life where you are a criminal, had to keep up appearances with your day-to-day life, but then, you know, when the time calls.
That reminds me that Elden Ring, that people are selling runes online.
Huh?
So you'll if you go to eBay or whatever, or the dark web, you can buy runes packages.
The dark web.
Then the player that you are trading runes with, you sync to their world, mm-hmm. and they will drop the runes on the ground. And then you pick them up, and then you can use them. And if there was a Grand Theft Auto 6, where the way that Grand Theft Auto Online works, like if you could just like make money and then sell the money, mm-hmm. then you could like just have a regular job. Like you could become a hedge fund manager in Grand Theft Auto 6 and then sell all the money to like streetcar. It should do all of capitalism. That's what it should do.
I mean, people do that in certain games. There are ones with, you know, with real money where you can exchange real money for in-game currency directly. But there's also ones where it's just like there are. I'm going back to Diablo 2, but I remember you could buy Stones of Jordan, or you could buy, you know, extremely rare unique items. And you could buy those with real money, and then someone would come into your game and drop it for you or scam you. I think so many of those economies got taken over just by bots. I'd imagine no one can bot Elden Ring quite yet. Or maybe they can. I don't fucking know.
I'll tell you this. Those whatever runes I get, I'm keeping. I'm not selling. They're not for sale. I don't want to do any business with you. Those runes are mine.
Okay. I can't wait to find out all about our different playthroughs of this game. I cannot fucking wait.
It's going to be really exciting. But
yeah.
So you guys played Grand Theft Auto 5 and you didn't like it?
No, it's not that I didn't like it. I was just like, okay, I get it. I think also the story had kind of lost me by that point. And, you know, I think also if I'm going to say something about L.A. in terms of, like it's less of the physical world of less the physical layout of LA I found disorienting, but more just like that I felt the characterizations of like these are the LA protagonists and this is what occupies LA for me felt like kind of like this is like a frozen in time understanding of either a combination of 90s LA culture and a combination of just like general sort of like USA underground, criminal underground mm-hmm. culture, you know, because it's like I don't know. It just felt like it felt like the bank robber, Michael, the mobster was just like that. That's not like an LA archetype at all. Like, no. This is like a New York City guy. What's he doing here? This isn't the type of character that would be in the city. And like Franklin, like kind of feels like, okay, yeah, I mean, like, it's a cool character, but it's kind of like, again, this feels like it didn't feel as contemporary to the LA of the 2010s that I knew.
Yeah.
But
Trevor is like a character the internet created.
Trevor should have had like a pilot he was trying to sell. Like, that would have been like, yeah, an LA specific. He should have been always auditioning for commercials, and that's what made him lose his mind.
Oh my God. That would have been amazing. Like, if you could, like, you had to, like, Dance Dance Revolution your way, like, through a...
like a pitch?
Through a commercial or a pitch. Yes, like, you have to, like, as shit's appearing on screen, you have to be hitting button combinations in an active time battle or whatever the fuck. Yeah. What do you call those? Those things where, I don't know. My brain's fried.
Quick time event, yeah.
Quick time event, yeah. If auditions and pilot pitches were quick time events... And if you failed, you did like a Disco Elysium style hit to your health.
Yeah.
And you walked slower for a while.
This will happen if they ever set a Yakuza game in Los Angeles. Yeah.
Yakuza so owes its existence to the Grand Theft Auto franchise. Absolutely. So it's like, you know, it's again, that just speaks to its influence. I don't know. I mean, I still can definitely appreciate what they were doing with GTA 5. Certainly, the ambition and the scope, just that they have that much fucking money to throw at something and just to make it this detailed and this refined and have this much content and have all these sort of systems, interlocking systems that work against each other. It's just so impressive. It's a really staggering achievement, and you understand why it's become so successful. Yeah. So here's the thing I've never messed around with is GTA Online. Matt, have you spent time with online, Heather?
I did a little bit, but not like enough to like. I'm not really then when it was new, I got on there. I haven't kept up with it, which is what I understand you have to do to maintain.
Some people,
sort of
it's all they
order.
Do.
Yeah.
Some people, it feels like it's like, I'm sure there's people who, maybe people listening to this podcast, who that's the game they play. They play Grand Theft Auto Online and that's enough for them.
And it's
I've tried it a little bit, but the combat is a little loose in Grand Theft Auto. Mm-hmm. So I was like, this doesn't have the feeling that I want. Because there's a world where if the combat had been like clicky and snappy and good, that I probably would have just become a warlord in that game.
Yeah.
Like, but there, it was too, it's too sloppy. It's loot. It's not, you know, it's elastic in like a Smash Brothers kind of way that
right.
doesn't.
It's a little different than like Red Dead's combat too. Like Red Dead has like really what I would say is like the opposite of what you're saying, like type of combat, like has with the combat you're looking for, I think.
Right. I don't remember anything except killing horses.
Because that's not the point of the game.
Horse-killing simulator.
But I know that because, I mean, I didn't have it with... I didn't have Grand Theft Auto 5 on PS4. I had it for PS3, and online for PS3 wasn't the best. So I was just like, this is not... I'm not really going to be doing much with this. But I've since repurchased Grand Theft Auto 5 for PS4, I think maybe a year and a half ago or something, when they announced that it would eventually be on PS5, I was like, oh, I'll get this and then I'll have it. And then I don't know if there's a direct upgrade path or if I'm gonna have to buy it again.
I don't know.
But I have not messed with online, but I know that that's like the main reason Grand Theft Auto 6 is not out.
Right. It's just five's online mode is just so lucrative.
Yeah.
It's just printing money for them. And it's, you know, they really don't even have to do anything else. That's why they can completely phone in and half ass the remaster, the definitive edition, because they just like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a revenue stream for them.
No.
Like fucking whatever. Who cares?
They're printing enough
which
money
is a bummer.
To be an active government, basically. And but like, I'd be interested because like, I don't know. Couldn't they just say like, oh, the new season of Grand Theft Auto Online is going to be within Grand Theft Auto sales? Like, couldn't you just move it over? Like, I don't know. I don't know how it's supposed to work.
I think they're just, there's a, they have this user base that exists and they don't want to turn that faucet off.
Yeah.
So that'll be probably keep going indefinitely. So, but who fucking knows? I, six is rumored. Hopefully it'll be coming someday. And hey, maybe with this next gen re-release, I'll finally finish the campaign of five. I don't fucking know. Maybe I will.
I really liked the end of the campaign. I liked the campaign overall. I also, mm-hmm. Rockstar does this in all their games. But I like the weird stuff that they put like in the background of the games a little bit. Like I think in San Andreas, there's like the Bigfoot thing.
Right.
And in Grand Theft Auto 5, there's this like whole like alien like conspiracy thing that is not addressed really in the game at all. But like you can sort of follow the threads on your own in that way. And that stuff's really fun to me. But I finished the Grand Theft Auto 5 campaign and was really, really satisfied with it. And it has like sort of like divergent endings too, which is interesting for a series like that.
That's enough of an endorsement for me. I'll fucking do it.
It's really cool.
I do want to before we wrap up our discussion here, I do want to go back and talk about the first couple entries in this series because, you know, like The Witcher, like Elder Scrolls, kind of the mainstream awareness of this franchise begins with a third entry. But there was a Grand Theft Auto, there was a Grand Theft Auto 2, there's also Grand Theft Auto London. I actually played the original Grand Theft Auto on PC.
Oh, me too.
Which was a top-down, much more linear experience, and the whole thing there, I mean, they're pretty fun. I remember playing them on a keyboard, which was not ideal for that type of game, but I like they looked cool. They had the camera zooming in up and down in this top down perspective, and also it was just like just the wanton violence. I just remember being like ha, this is so funny. I can't believe you can do this. I can't believe you can run over people.
Yep, it leave like a little blood stain behind.
Yes, yeah.
Well. That's everything right there.
I'm not
completely different games, but types of games. And yes. I think that's partly why Grand Theft Auto 3 was, even if you played those, like, holy shit, this is something new. Because I remember 2, fuck, I don't even know if I played 2. I think I played 1 in London, but maybe that's not possible because maybe London was an expansion pack for 2. I don't fucking remember, but that's what I remember spending time with. And I remember them being like fun and like random, but very violent in a way I thought was funny, and having a cool look to them. But yeah, not just they're also just kind of games.
Yeah, I never played those. I did play Grand Theft Auto Advanced for the Game Boy Advance.
Oh yeah,
which also has a top down. Is like a sort of return to that type of thing. But I was going to say also, they will like. Find a, you know, they'll put out like Red Dead Revolver, right? Is the first in the Red Dead series, completely different from Red Dead Redemption,
right?
As in gameplay and in all of it. And then they're like, okay, well, we're sticking with this. And like now in Red Dead Redemption 2, obviously such a huge hit for them as well. I've messed around with Red Dead Online. We're not talking about Red Dead, but I've messed around with that a little bit. That's pretty fun too.
We should do a Red Dead episode.
Can I say my favorite thing about the old Grand Theft Autos was
yes, please.
The way the camera zoomed out if you were driving fast.
Yes, that was cool.
It was such an excellent little piece of, I don't know, like it made it pleasant to play because you could see farther ahead because you were going faster. And I don't know why Sonic games haven't borrowed that shit.
Yeah. He's going a little too fast, I think. I don't know if they could actually catch up if they lost him.
Never mind him. You know what? I wish I had never spoken.
Camera design is one of those things. I'm glad you made that point. Camera design is one of those things where it's just like when you actually dig into it anytime you're making a game, it's just like, oh, there is so much going on here. If you're in third person of just like what, even a 2D game, it's like, do we want the cameras? Do we want the perspective centered on the player or the player character? Do we want them centered in the screen at all times? And then, well, you know what? That doesn't feel quite right. We actually want it to lead the player character a little bit. And we actually want to have a little bit of acceleration when they start to move, a little bit of deceleration when they come to a halt. You can get so granular with tweaking it to make it actually just feel right. And so much of it is just like, it's just so subjective. And so, yeah, it's oftentimes some games feel good and some games feel bad.
I'd say, yeah, Grand Theft Auto, one of the better in-game cameras for sure. Always, always, never giving me any problems.
Well, there you go. I feel like kind of the myself, to this is my own self-crit. I kind of feel like I'm talking about the MCU, just in terms of like, I'm kind of out of my depth. Like I've played these games. I have an awareness of them, you know, but they're not like my favorite, and they're not a things I've dedicated my life to in the way that some people are like super passionate, can rank, you know, Doctor Strange and the Mountain of Madness or whatever the fuck versus
it's not
Thor
that.
Ragnarok. All right, sorry. People like Matt
know
what these different movies are. And if I'm talking about them, I sound maybe a little bit, you know, superficial. But these are like huge games regardless. Yeah. And I don't know.
I don't think you sound that way. There's so much of it, though, too, because like there's like, I mean, especially within like even in the Grand Theft Auto 4 era, there was the expansions that I just never touched because I was not
Ballad
like,
of Gay Tony or whatever.
Yeah. And then I think the Lost and the Damned, I think, is the other one. Yeah. I didn't touch those because I didn't know how to get them. I had no fucking idea how to do that. I was like, oh, you can download like what? I didn't know. And I'm sure they're fun and good. And I know some of those characters come back in 5 actually. I love Grand Theft Auto 5. I think it's such a really, really good game. Really cool. I like that you can switch between characters at any point. That's really fun. And I think the characters are just a little too crazy, but they're fun. I wouldn't say that Grand Theft Auto is one of my favorites ever, but when there's a new Grand Theft Auto, I tend to be interested.
Yeah, you can't not be interested. Yeah. Heather, any closing thoughts?
No, I mean, again, if you're a developer on the game and you hear my plea, I would love the opportunity to just be a regular person in Grand Theft Auto 6. I think, in fact, if I could really push for something, it would be that you could play as an NPC or the protagonist in both online and offline play. Because it would be pretty great to just like go fucking make you like I work at a Benihana.
Right.
And I'm making food.
You got to get to work and then someone busted out a grenade launcher.
Yeah.
You got to deal with that shit on your commute.
I'd
you change
it.
Routes. You just try to dodge the explosions. I love that pitch. How about a segment?
Whoa.
Oh.
Yeah, I've got a game-related quiz for the two of you. Another edition of You Don't Know, Jack Off.
Wow.
And that title is appropriately horny this week, because what I have is the top 10 most searched for video game characters in 2021 on Pornhub. This is according to Pornhub's metrics, which they release publicly. The top 10 most searched for video game characters for people to pound off to.
Where do they release this information?
They just email it to me directly. Pornhub's 2021 year in review. This came out at the end of 2021, a few months old. Most searched video game characters. We'll see how many you guys can get. And you guys can just take turns.
All right. You want to go first or second, Apodaca?
I'll go second.
All right. First, Lara Croft.
Wow.
Number one with a bullet. Lara
Holy
Croft,
shit.
Tomb Raider. Most searched for video game character on Pornhub.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go second.
Mm-hmm.
You are second.
Okay. I'm going to go second.
Okay. Matt has chosen to go second.
And here I go. I don't know her name.
Okay.
But the big lady from Resident Evil 8. The big tall lady.
Not in there, no. Lady Dimitrescu is not in there.
Well, says a little bit more about me than it does everybody else, I guess.
Good guess, though. And here's a little hint. That franchise is represented in the top 10.
Whoa.
All right. Is it my turn?
Yes.
Heather's going next.
All right.
Heather is elected to go third.
I'm going to say that League of Legends character, the show is called Arcane, but I don't watch Arcane and I don't know League of Legends. But she's so highly represented on TikTok that I would have to imagine she's highly represented on Pornhub. What do you say?
I think maybe the League of Legends demographic is perhaps too young for Pornhub would be my guess, because the franchise is not represented here. The other possibility is that there are just so many League of Legends characters that are searched that they've all kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
It's when two actors from the same movie are in the best supporting actor category.
I'm a little shocked that I got number one and then number none.
All right, the Lara Croft, you have number one.
Okay. Qbert, just kidding.
Qbert, number one. Above Lara Croft. I was wrong.
Dick in the nose. Yeah. Put your dick in the nose.
Have you guys seen the movie Pixels, the Adam Sandler movie?
No.
I have not, but I know it. Yeah.
Yeah, Josh Gad fucks Qbert in Pixels. The post-credit scene or mid-credit scene reveals that he had intercourse with Qbert and conceived children that are half Gad, half Qbert.
That's fucking
Gad
nasty.
Fucks Qbert. It's fucking sick. But it happens off camera.
It's pretty funny, though.
But it's disgusting. It is funny.
It's almost worse that it happens off camera because it leaves you to figure out how it happened.
Well, so it's a little bit more complicated than that because Qbert takes on the form of a babe. And he fucks Qbert in babe form, but
okay,
still with his
Qbert attributes.
Okay, now
they're messing with Qbert's lore? Qbert can do that?
Well, look, the people who own the IP for Qbert were very flexible. They just
we should watch that movie for a fucking episode.
Oh, we should.
I love that.
I mean,
I'd love to watch Pixels.
Great.
Saw it in theaters.
Oh, fuck.
By myself, I think.
Oh, no.
Only one in the theater. Gad has you at gunpoint. Okay, my guess, I already said the big lady. I can't think of another character from Resident Evil. Oh, maybe Jill Valentine. I'll just say Jill Valentine.
Number four, Jill Valentine.
Wow.
There it is.
Well
nice.
Done, Matt.
Teased from the end of the movie.
I'm going to go with Peach. Princess Peach.
Oh, Princess Peach, Mama number Mia. Five.
Number five.
Boom.
Yep. Lara Croft, number one. Blank, blank, Jill Valentine 4, Peach 5. You have three of the top five.
Okay. Is it going to be like a fucking Pokemon or something? Something sick?
I mean, you'll just have to guess.
Okay. I guess, that's tough because, like, what am I going to pick out of all, like, 900-something Pokemon? It'll be like, Kakuna. No. Like, you know what I mean? Like, who could I
Yeah, pick? I gotcha.
Okay, what about, I'm just, like, kind of shocked that the big lady's not there.
This isn't your searches, Matt.
This is everyone's. Okay, I understand. Sonic.
Sonic, surprisingly, not represented in the top 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Show me Princess Zelda.
Whoa.
Zelda not in the top 10.
What?
Man, this is... Can you give us a hint for one of
this
them?
Okay, so here, significantly so here's harder a hint. Than I expected. She said...
Here's a hint. First off, there are two fellas... in the top 10.
Oh, so,
hubba.
There are two gentlemen in the top 10.
Here we go.
And I'll just give you that hint for now, and I'll give you another hint if we draw blanks again.
All right. Is it my turn?
Yes.
The Merchant, Resident Evil 4.
Number 1A above Lara Croft and Qbert. No, not represented.
What are
Resident
you
Evil
fucking?
Franchise does have another entry.
Resident Evil franchise has another one. Leon. Is Leon in there?
No, he's not in there.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Here's another. Here's a. All right, I'll give you another hint. There are on this of here of the remainder of the list. There's one Blizzard franchise.
Oh.
There are two Nintendo franchises. And there are two Capcom franchises.
Okay, it's got to be one of those fucking Overwatch girls, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know Overwatch.
D.Va from Overwatch, I'll give it to you.
There it is.
Yeah, what, people what number? To crank off to D.Va. D.Va number two. Thanks D.Va for asking.
Number two.
We're very horny for D.Va. Let me just Bing D.Va real quick. Here we go.
Nick is taking off his shirt in order to search for something online.
Yeah, I know D.Va. Yeah, kind of got cat ear headphones. Okay, yes, okay. I understand.
Is there a dude in the top five?
There is, in fact, number three. You have four of the top five.
Hmm.
Number three is a dude from a Nintendo franchise.
Fucking Luigi.
Mamma mia! You forget about Super Mario! Super Mario is number three.
Mario. They want to watch Mario. They don't want to watch him just go down some pipes. They want to watch him lay it.
Oh, I missed one. There's a Final Fantasy character in here. I said all Capcom franchises. I apologize. There's also a Final Fantasy character. You know what? You have the top five. Yeah, go on, Heather.
Tifa.
Tifa is there from Final Fantasy VII.
Uh-huh.
Tifa is number six.
We know she's popular because of Italy.
You are missing, yes. That's right. You're missing 7, 8, 9, and 10, the Italian parliament. They're trying to decide what to do about the Ukraine war. And everyone decided to watch some Tifa hentai instead. All right. You have four more. Two Nintendo franchises, one Resident Evil character, one other Capcom character.
Oh, Chun-Li is absolutely on the
Chun-Li
list.
Chun-Li is number 10.
Wow. 10?
Number
offended
10.
Offended on Chun-Li's behalf? More people should be jerking off to Chun-Li.
I'll say this. I think considering Street Fighter's relevance has kind of diminished over time, that speaks to Chun-Li as a character really enduring. Because, you know,
that's true.
That series definitely had its peak in terms of eyeballs a decade plus ago.
And regular balls.
Who else? Heather, your turn.
How many are we missing?
You're missing three.
And two. One of them is a Capcom and one's Nintendo.
I got the Capcom.
No, you got the Capcom one. There's a Resident Evil character from a different... One was a non-Resident Evil Capcom character. And... Here is so this is a Resident Evil character, and two Nintendo characters.
Yoshi.
Yoshi is not on the list.
Now, what about Kirby?
Kirby is not on the list. Hmm. You guys just having fun now?
No.
No.
Kirby sucks stuff.
Yeah, and Yoshi
no-brainer to
licks.
Me.
Come on, right, I'm doing right, my fine. Best.
Yeah.
fucking Daisy. Nintendo franchise. Oh. Metroid. What's her name?
Samus. Not Samus. It's not Samus. Wrong franchise.
Daisy?
Not Daisy.
Hi, I'm Daisy.
Do you guys want me to give it to you?
Yeah.
Wait, I got one more guess.
Yes.
It's a Wario.
I wish it was Wario.
Is it Birdo?
It's not Birdo. I wish. No, it's Link. Link. People Link. Are cranking off to Link.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't like it, but
it makes sense.
I think the chances are, first off, I'm not going to yuck anybody's yum, but the possibility that people are searching for Link when they mean Zelda, probably pretty high.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Possible, or they're just looking for a Link in terms of a URL. And that's their attempt.
Porn Link.
That's a real 70-year-old man search.
Yeah.
That's a real your elderly uncle search.
That's like oh, sex
I'm a porn
gist.
Hub. Yeah. Let me search for Link.
Yeah.
All right. Wait, I accidentally tweeted it. Oh well.
Yeah. And there's one more. Right.
There's another Nintendo character and a Resident Evil character. I'll give you guys one more guess apiece.
I wish I knew another Resident Evil character's name.
Leon and Jill and... Well, who else is there in that?
Yeah, and Ada Wong. Ada Wong, of course.
Wow. Man, you'd have to be specific. To be like, I'm going to crank it to Ada Wong.
I think she's pretty well known. And finally, the Nintendo character. This is the tricky one. Not actually in a game, but everyone got horned up for Bowsette.
Really?
Yeah, that turned into a huge, huge... thing in the porno community. Well, there you go. The most searched for video game characters on Pornhub. And that's this week's Get Played. Follow us on social media at Get Played Pod. Our music and engineering over at Devin Bright. You can follow him on Twitter at BaffleGabs. And the final Monday of each month, we do our new We Play, You Play series, which is an episode focused on one game. So Monday, March 28th, we will do a deep dive on Elden Ring.
I want to say... That
what?
I'm not going to do it. I Googled Bowsette because I was not familiar with the character, and I'm not convinced anything that I'm actually seeing is what she looks like.
I'll send you some fan art.
Hey guys, it's been a really good week, and I would just want to say you got played.
Oh, hey,
wow,
thanks, Heather. You got played too.
You too.